Yeah. Good day to all of you out there in cyberland. We had some bigger plans for today that have not worked out because of this fabulous COVID-19, but we are still here with a worship service for you all. And so we have a couple of announcements that you might want to be aware of. One is, I'm sure you all have heard that school has been canceled through April 19th, I believe. Okay. And so we will not be having worship services in the church building until after that date, where we will think about it again. And see how things are going. So, I know that's Easter and Palm Sunday, and that's very frustrating to everybody, but we are working on plans for this website and trying to provide a joyful Easter experience and a significant Palm Sunday experience for you. So, never fear, do not worry, we are on the job. Other announcements, I don't know what they are. And I'm not sure what to do about the Easter lilies. So I guess I will call Kathy later and we will put something up on the website, or we will inform the elders who will call you about that. So I'm going to look out at all of you. Are there any other announcements? Rick, you got anything? Okay. Okay. Then we will begin with our service this morning with a call to worship. Beloved, God calls us to follow Jesus along the road of our daily lives, courageously and intentionally to pursue justice, truth, and love in all of our actions. Then, having done our best, to leave the results to God, and walk on in gentleness and peace. Come, beloved, let us worship God, for we are not alone. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Creating God, still center of the world that you have made, we come to you in this season of turning and returning. We do not know how to seek you with our whole hearts, but we know you are our source and our destiny. In the midst of life, we return to you. We turn toward you. We thank you that you receive even the broken heart, the troubled conscience, the conflicted spirit. Following your way, we are your people, and we pray as your Son taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, now I want you all to close your eyes and imagine the sanctuary. And I am walking down from the pulpit from my mountain here. Yes, I am. Rick can tell you. And I'm sitting down in the middle of the chancel and saying, okay, kids, it's time for you to come up here. Okay. Yes, I'm sitting right in the middle. Because we have something important for all of our kids to do. So, kids, kiddos, wonderful human beings that you are y'all out there listening? Mom and Dad, go get them. Grandma, Grandpa, go get them. I'll give you a second. Okay. Now, here's the deal. I was watching the news this week one night, and the news is never filled these days with anything positive. But this one night on CBS, Steve, what's his name? A guy who does really nice stories for CBS. He's stuck at home, not stuck at home, he's at home with his kids, trying to teach them school. And he did an internet class for kids around the country and his kids and kids in his neighborhood about kindness. And one of the things they all decided to do was to think about the people who are helping to take care of them while we are all at home, while school is closed, while businesses are closed, while everybody's at home. And so what he had them do was think about those people and to thank them for what they're doing to help care for all of us. Like your mail carrier, the post office people, or the grocery store people, or the garbage people. Garbage still has to be picked up no matter who's staying at home. The garbage people cannot stay home because you know what happens when garbage stays around too long? It stinks to high heaven. Yes, it does. And our teachers and pharmacists. You know what pharmacists are? Those are the people at the grocery store or at another store. They're the people that fill our prescriptions, our medicines. Maggie Grooms is a pharmacist, and they need to work so that we can all get our medicines. If they weren't working, there would be a whole lot more sick people out there. And our teachers. Well, here in Natrona County, our teachers are going to learn how to teach you guys online really quickly. So y'all are going to have some learning to do. So we are grateful for our teachers too. So what I would like you all to do is to talk with your mom and dad and think of someone that you are grateful for, someone who is helping take care of you that you might not otherwise notice, and write them a thank you note, draw them a picture, and put it in the mail. Who gets mail? Y'all get excited if you get something in the mail addressed to you. So do that for me, would you? See, God's people are a thankful people. And right now, it's important for us to be thankful like God wants us to. All right? So work with your mom and dad on that. That's your project for this week. Let's have a prayer. God, we thank you for all of the people who are helping to take care of us now. Amen. Amen. All right. Now I'm trying to get up and go back to the mountain. Okay. Rick Black, thank you. You are a teacher. He's a fifth grade teacher, so we are grateful for him. Okay. And now that brings us to our time of joys and concerns. Let me check, since you're all not here, you are not seeing me look, at my phone. Okay, we have a few joys to be thankful for this week. And as I just said, this is the time to be thankful. We have several people in the congregation who are busy making masks and gowns for the hospital. Wyoming Medical Center has put up specific directions and specific materials that they want their masks and their gowns made out of. And so we have a few folks in our congregation, perhaps more than I know about, making those things for the hospital here. We also, let's see, Joe and Lyle Cox, their grandson-in-law, his name is Rob Riesler. Rob is an engineer in Seattle, and his company is working very hard on making respirators. Rob comes home for dinner real quick, and then he goes back to work. So we are grateful for him these days, and we want to pray for his family, who doesn't see much of him. Floyd and Janet Field, their granddaughter and her husband, Dr. Carly Fields and Dr. Sam Percy, they are doctors in Arizona on the Navajo Nation, and they are running the COVID-19 clinic right now. And so we are grateful for that as well, for them as well. So please hold all of those folks in your prayers. And of course, we're grateful for medical workers and our first responders. And we talk about doctors and nurses, but we also forget about the aides and the assistants and the people who clean rooms and the people who take the trash out and the people who do office jobs in hospitals and all that it takes to run a hospital and a clinic. So, and among our community, we have these concerns. Rick Black's friend in Seattle with baby boy Lincoln is doing much better, but his parents are sick right now. Linda Whelan, daughter of former member Winnie Allen, is at Wyoming Medical Center for over a week now and is being treated for a reaction to chemotherapy. Carol McVicker, the daughter of former member Wanda Leeling, has been diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. She is living in California. Monica Decker is at home. Prayers for healing and also prayers for Cal as he continues to care for her. I spoke with Monica this morning and it was a delight, I'm going to tell you. Carmen Goodman asked for prayers that her house sells and closes on the 23rd of April as it has scheduled. And Mike Ward has a doctor's appointment Thursday. Actually, that was Wednesday. He is going to Colorado this weekend. He has an appointment on Monday for a second opinion. And a treatment plan will be decided after that appointment. And please continue to remember Lonnie McBee as she does another round of chemotherapy. Let's see. Also, Debbie Mestis has not been feeling well, and so she went to the doctor this morning to be tested for COVID-19, like everybody else. And Lisa Walker, our lovely, lovely new bookkeeper, was told this morning that her test won't be back until next Thursday. So Lisa is in quarantine at home until next Thursday, as is, well, that's where Rick and I are. We are both at home. We're in quarantine at home, as is the rest of the staff. Joan McNamara is recovering, still at home, and is feeling a little bit better. And she is grateful for all of the cards, the prayers, and the support that she has received from this congregation. Are there other joys and concerns this morning?
Dave Baker, who is the former member in Seattle, my friend. Dave,
yeah.
He's just gotten out of the hospital with bowel obstruction. And so he was in the hospital for a few days, but he's back home and is doing well and trying to protect himself against the virus.
Oh. Okay. What's his first name?
David Baker.
David Baker. With a baby?
No.
Oh. Oh, okay. Rick Black's friend David Baker is home from the hospital. He had a bowel obstruction, and now he's at home trying to keep himself well from the virus that's going around. Okay, he's got cancer, and so he's trying to protect himself. So please remember him. That's a hard thing to do. So we'll keep him in our prayers. Now, if you would please join me in prayer. Oh God, who so loved the world that you sent your only beloved child, we come to you this day trying to fully understand that you love us still, regardless of who we are or are not. Regardless of what we have done or left undone, regardless of what we are capable or incapable of doing, your love persists stubbornly, warmly, always welcoming us back to you. In the midst of this uncertain time, O God, we come with hearts humming, grateful with praise to you for the signs of life that continue, the hope of newborn buds on trees, the promise of flowers rising from winter-hardened ground. We come with hearts of grateful praise, some of us weary, others refreshed, praising you in the midst of time's swift passing, praising you in the midst of time's slow passing. And as we live in these passing days of Lent, we begin to restlessly consider, like the flowers responding to the sun's kiss, your Lenten call to us for transformation. For such a possibility of transformation, God, we are grateful to your grace, which releases us from any falsehood or pretensions of who we may imagine ourselves to be, and invites us to be what we are: human, forgiven, set free. You, O God of transforming love, we know that you suffer when your children are suffering. You know that some of us come this day with a heaviness of a sorrow, a burden, an anxiety that cannot be lifted except through you. You know our hearts, our prayers, before we can speak them. Embrace our loved ones who are sick. Embrace our loved ones who are away from us. Walk with us, loving God, that we are mindful to walk closely with one another in spirit through these days, when we suffer from loneliness, uncertainty, and disappointment. Still our fears, God. Quiet them until we hear again your voice, steady and familiar, lifting us to you. Teach us your way of faithfulness, that we may be careful in our relationships, growing always in love and desire for your presence. We are your children, and we are your people. Amen. Amen. And now we come to our time for communion. Forgot to ask you at the beginning to have your bread and your cup out on your table. So if you need a second to do that, I'll give you just a second. As you go into your kitchens, doesn't have to be exact, just something to represent what we do here each week. Ann Weems is a wonderful and lovely poet, and in her book, Kneeling in Jerusalem, she writes these words. Eat, drink, remember who I am. Eat, drink, remember who I am, so you can remember who you are. Eat, drink, remember who I am, so you can remember who you are and tell the others. Eat, drink, remember who I am, so you can remember who you are and tell the others, so that all God's people can live in communion, in holy communion. Now is the time for all of us, for all of God's people, to come to the Feast of Joy. And on the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in memory of me." And after supper, he took a cup. After supper, he took a cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, which is for you. As often as you drink it, do so in memory of me." Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for these gifts for the whole people of God, these gifts of life and light and all things good. We thank you for welcoming every one of us at your table. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we partake together as one. For our offering, yes, I told you last week, we are still doing offering. We still need your money. We need you to mail your offering, or an elder can come by and pick up your offering. Why do we give to the church? Well, of course we have bills to pay, but even deeper than that, we give because of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. We give to heal God's broken and hurting world. And that takes money. It takes gifts of time, talent, and money to do that. And so now, let us receive our offering. And let us pray as we are to thank God for these gifts. Gracious God, accept our offering as a symbol of our love for you. Use it and use us to bring healing to your broken and hurting world, especially now. Amen. Amen. Okay. Scripture lessons this morning. This day. First, we're going to read Psalm 130. I can find them. Did you know if you open your Bible, if you close your Bible back on its spine and you kind of open it in the middle, the Psalms should open up right there. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. But anyway, that's just a little trick there. Oh, you thought you were going to get away from my babbling. Okay, Psalm 30. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. God, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O God, should mark my iniquities, God, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is God who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. And we are going to read Isaiah 43, verses 16 to 21. By the way, here's a little aside. If you have your Bibles open, in the Old Testament, whenever you see the word Lord in all capital letters, that is the name of God. It is Yahweh. And Yahweh is such a holy name that it's not to be said, and so Lord is put in there instead. So there's a little fun fact to know and tell. So we know that it's the name Yahweh when it's in all capital letters. All caps. Okay. Isaiah 43, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, Yahweh, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I will give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. Okay. Oops. All right. Put that there. And all righty. Okay, need a little sip of something. Okay, so Irma Bombeck isn't exactly the woman that comes to mind when we think about the anointing of Jesus. And actually, if we stop and think about the story of the woman who anointed Jesus, which we're going to hear in just a minute, there isn't one woman in particular that comes to mind. In our mind's eye, we may each see a different woman, and we may each see her anointing Jesus in a different manner, because the story is told very differently in each of the four Gospels. Now, try to stay with me here, because I think this is important. Before we get to the stories, we need to talk briefly about anointing. To anoint is simply to smear, to rub oil or perfumed ointment on or over the skin. These days, we have entire stores dedicated to that practice. Bath and Body Works, for example. Jennifer Aniston has lovely skin that we all admire because of Aveeno. And she probably has a good gene pool. Back in the day, we used to use Johnson's or Baby Magic baby lotion for our newborns, but now you can Google the 10 best baby lotions for 2020, and it comes complete with a list of pros and cons of each lotion to anoint our babies with. And some of you remember might remember things like Ginette, Old Spice. There was nothing quite like an Aqua Velva man. There was Alberto Vio 5 hot air treatments, and now there's Moroccan oil hair treatments. These are all things used to anoint the body. In the ancient world, like today, it was done after bathing. It was thought to promote well-being. It could be done in cases of sickness, like a version of Vicks Vapor Rub. Do y'all remember that smell? Oh, there was nothing better than that smell when you were sick. Oh. Bodies were also anointed after death, just before they were wrapped in linen. Also in the ancient world, in ancient Greece, anointing was done before gymnastic exercises. Nowadays, bodybuilders oil up before competitions for total muscular definition. Not so different than the ancient world. Anointing feet was customary, and it was an act of hospitality. To wash the feet of a guest was also a way to honor that guest. In the world of the Old Testament, anointing conferred specific status and strength. Perfumed oil or ointment was poured over the head. Some priests, like Aaron, were anointed. The prophet Elisha was anointed by Elijah. The kings of Israel were the anointed ones of the Lord, Yahweh. Saul, David, and even Cyrus were all the Lord's anointed. And in the New Testament, Jesus is the Lord's anointed. He is the Messiah, or the Christ. Two words, two different languages, which both mean the anointed one. Messiah is Hebrew, Christ is Greek. They both mean anointed, the anointed one. It's important to know a little bit about that word and the practice of anointing as we listen to the gospel lesson for today. John 12:1-8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard and anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Like the story of the fig tree, each gospel writer tells the story of the anointing of Jesus in a unique way. If you want to compare them later, they're found in Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 7, and here in John 12. They each bear some similarity to each other, but they also bear significant differences. And like the fig trees, when we don't blend the gospel stories together, when we look at each gospel writer on their own, we find some amazing learnings. And if we look closely at the Gospel of John that we just read, we discover we have missed an important tiny little phrase just waiting to be noticed. Jesus is in Bethany. Here he is having dinner at the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, his friends. And he's not just having dinner. They gave a dinner for him. They're throwing him a party. Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, is the woman who anoints Jesus here. And like the woman in Luke, she anoints Jesus' feet, not his head, and she uses her hair. The objection here is made by Judas, but John tells us Judas only said this because he was a thief. And like Matthew and Mark, Jesus tells Judas to leave Mary alone. She bought the perfumed ointment for the day of his burial. And this is where John differs from the other gospels significantly. Jesus does not say that Mary is anointing his body for burial or preparing his body for burial like Matthew and Mark do. John is the only gospel writer to tell us that after the crucifixion, the body of Jesus is anointed before it's buried in the tomb. In the Gospel of John, after the crucifixion, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they anoint Jesus' body, which is interesting because anointing dead bodies is women's work. And they wrap him in his burial cloths and bury him in the tomb in the garden. And the anointing by Mary here happens before Jesus enters Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. So it's not as closely connected to the events of Holy Week as it is in Matthew and Mark. But it is very closely connected to another important event. John 11:35 is the shortest memory verse in the Bible that my Sunday school teachers never let us memorize, of course. Does anybody know what it is? John 11:35. You know what that is? Jesus wept. That would have been a great memory verse when I was in second grade. Ugh. Do any of you remember why Jesus wept? Jesus began to cry along with Mary and Martha on his way to the tomb of Lazarus, their brother and his friend, who had been dead for 4 days. In chapter 11, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, 4 days dead. Chapter 12 begins with Martha and Mary, and now once again alive Lazarus giving a dinner for their friend Jesus. And the writer of John makes a point of telling us that Lazarus is there at the dinner table. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at table with him. Can you imagine what the mood was like around that dinner table? Martha, gladly doing what she does best, preparing and serving a feast of joy. It is the work of deacon. Mary, the gracious and thankful host, offering lavish hospitality. As Jesus will soon do for his disciples, this host acts as servant. She washes the feet of their honored guest. She anoints his feet with costly, sweet, perfumed oil, ointment, and the fragrance filled the entire house. The fragrance filled the entire house. These beloved friends of Jesus have just been surrounded with the stench of death. Remember, when Jesus arrived, Lazarus was 4 days dead. 4 days didn't. 4 days means he wasn't just merely dead. He was really most sincerely dead. He was really, really dead. And as Martha said, his body had begun to smell. But now the gospel writer says, the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now this family finds itself blanketed with the scent, the sweetness, the fragrance of new life. Lazarus has just shed his grave clothes, and he's here at the table with his family, his friend, and he is alive and able to breathe deeply, to fill his being with the fragrance of this new life. Put yourself in his shoes for just a moment. I imagine him sitting at the table, a smile on his face, his body quiet, his spirit searching for words where there are no words. His spirit discovering a new contentment, a new comfort, a new ease with those sighs that are too deep for words. His spirit thankful beyond that which can be expressed for the gift he and his family have received as he drinks in the sights, the sounds, the scents of life, of family, of food, of friends, of love and joy around him. Perhaps he suddenly remembers the words of the psalmist. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. The Lord has done great things for us. Perhaps he recalled the words of the prophet Isaiah, now newly poignant. Thus says the Lord, I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Yes, Lazarus now perceives it. He is that new thing. He may be fully grown, but like a newborn baby, he is a new life fresh from God, surrounded by the scent of heaven. What will he do now that he has life to live again? In the 1970s, Irma Bombeck's column, At Wit's End, appeared 3 times a week in over 500 newspapers across the country. On December 2nd, 1979, her column was titled, If I Had My Life to Live Over. She wrote, and this is abbreviated, someone asked me the other day if I had my life to live over, would I change anything? My answer was no. But then I thought about it and changed my mind. If I had to live my life over again, I would have waxed less and listened more. I would have never insisted the car windows be rolled up on a summer day because my hair had just been teased and sprayed. I would have invited friends over to dinner, even though the carpet was stained and the sofa faded. I would have taken the time to listen to my grandfather ramble on about his youth. I would have sat cross-legged on the lawn with my children and never worried about grass stains. I would have cried and laughed less while watching television and more while watching real life. I would have eaten less cottage cheese and more ice cream. I would have gone to bed when I was sick instead of pretending the earth would go into a holding pattern if I weren't there for a day. When my child kissed me impetuously, I would never have said later, now go on and get washed up for dinner. There would have been more I love yous, more I'm sorry's, more I'm listening's. But mostly given another shot at life, I would seize every minute of it, look at it, really see it, try it on, live it, exhaust it, and never give that minute back until there was nothing left of it. These are words for us to ponder for such a time as this. And you know, no one around that table in Bethany, in that home filled with the fragrance of perfume, no one cared about carpet stains or faded sofas. Nobody worried about their hair or grass stains. Everyone had dessert. As the scent of new life, fresh from God, filled the room, the house, the hearts and spirits of everyone there. Lazarus had been raised. And now everyone around that table, including Jesus, received the gift of time and opportunity to say more I love yous, more I'm sorries, more I'm listenings, more love, more forgiveness, more being present. These are the gifts God brings to us each and every new day. Irma Bombeck was asked if I had my life to live over. We are being asked if we were forced to slow down. Like Lazarus, we are offered the gift of new life each and every day. It is a gift, a new life, a new day. The gift is ours. We have only to open our hands and our hearts to receive it. Especially now, the words of the prophet, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" For such a time as this, let us pray. Merciful God, open our hands, our hearts, our minds, and our spirits that we may receive the gift of a new day, the gift of time for more forgiveness, more being present with each other, more love. For this great gift of life, God, we are thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We have one closing announcement before we have our benediction, and you all stand right where you are here in the sanctuary where I see you. Kids, please write a thank you note to somebody, draw them a really nice picture, and either, well, put it in the mail or ask your parents to figure out how to deliver it. And for those of you who do not have children living in your home, say thank you to somebody who has helped taking care of you in these days. The people at the grocery store and the drug stores have to put up with the worst of humanity right now, I'm telling you. And we are God's people, and we are called to be kind and gentle. Self-control is one of the things we are supposed to be practicing in the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5. I hope you all found that. This is the time for us to be at our best, not our worst. So please find a way to thank someone who is still working so that you may eat or be healthy, or so that your you know, backyard doesn't smell like trash all the time. It's important. And truly, it's God's work. So keep that in mind. Until next week, you all stand for the benediction. And now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, the God who has promised to always be with us, be with you all as you go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen. Amen.